Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Your Tennessee Titans are playing for a trip to the Super Bowl next Sunday in Kansas City. The Chiefs beat the Texans 51-31 over the weekend. Of course, the Titans win 28-12. Where were you when they beat the Ravens in 2020 on January 11th? I started at a wedding. I know Marquise was at like a company dinner. I started at a wedding and ended up at home and got a chance to watch most of the second half at home. What a remarkable story. Just something, one of those games, one of those moments where we're all going to remember where we were. And I know where I was when I saw, you know, the Titans make the comeback from the Chiefs. I know I will always remember where I was when I watched the Titans beat the Ravens. The Preds win on Thursday night against Chicago in an exciting game in John Hines' second game as the head coach. And then, of course, come back yesterday and win 1-0 over Winnipeg. So two straight wins on the road in the Central Division. Who knows if it's signs of life. They've got a big, tough schedule coming up at Edmonton. And then Anaheim, Buffalo, and Toronto at home over the next few weeks. The national championship game is tonight, however. LSU and Clemson are playing a game for the national title, in case everyone in America has forgotten. Trevor Lawrence versus Joe Burrow is as good a quarterback matchup as you're ever going to get. And there's just so many similarities to these two teams, Derek. You look at the quarterbacks are both exceptional. They both have three sets of wide receivers that are just exceptional. They both have a great running back in Etienne and Edwards-Helaire. You know, the one difference for me, I think LSU's secondary matches up man-to-man with Clemson's receivers better than Clemson's secondary does with LSU. That is my concern, is can Clemson's receivers cover in man-to-man situations, because we know Brent Venables wants to be aggressive. So that's really the only thing I look at and go, man, is that the deciding factor? Because these are basically even teams. Can you get stops if you're Clemson? If you can get stops, you can win the game. If you can't, Joe Burrow and LSU, they're going to be your national champions tonight.
Yeah, Clemson, you know, they're one of the best teams in the country. And, you know, when they were tested, Carolina, Ohio State, they found a way to win those games. Ohio State put up numbers, but ultimately Clemson ended up winning that game because they had to sort of go outside of, you know, what they are as a team. They found another way to win. Trevor Lawrence, he used his legs rather than his arms. Then they used Etienne, not necessarily him running the ball out the backfield, but him catching passes, because I don't think he had a really good game running the football. I think Ohio State did a good job at, you know, at least taking him out from a run standpoint. But you look at what Oklahoma, you know, wasn't able to do with LSU, and how LSU just, you know, they are a three-tier team, and it's hard to stop a three-tier team. You know, they can beat you with the quarterback, him running the football. They can beat you with the running backs, running the football or catching the football out of the backfield, and then those phenomenal receivers. I mean, it's hard to beat a team like this. And do you have, you know, we said this all year, I don't think nobody in the country, and it showed when they played Florida, when they played Georgia, when they played Alabama, nobody in the country has three or four defensive backs that can match up with LSU's combination of their three receivers and their tight end, and even, you know, Solaire coming out of the backfield. No one has that many guys on defense that can, you know, take them away. And even if you try to put pressure on Burrow, he finds a way to get out of it, or he finds the open man very quickly. So, you know, it's going to be a good game. I hope it's not a blowout. I hope it's a good game, but there's nothing that, other than, you know, them got Trevor Lawrence, them having Trevor Lawrence, I don't see Clemson slowing LSU down. Now, I'm not saying I don't see Clemson not beating LSU. I just don't see them slowing their offense down, which means Clemson got to score right along with LSU in order to win this game.
D-Mace, I'm going to ask you this, because you and your prediction has been on point, because you had the Vikings going to the playoffs, and even though they got eliminated last night, they beat the Saints. And another prediction that you had at SEC Media Days was this LSU team and how good they were going to be. You even predicted that they'll beat, you know, Alabama, but, you know, we're just gonna gloss over that game. But what did you see from this LSU team from the beginning that you thought, okay, I can see a national championship style team in this?
Well, what I saw last year was a quarterback that didn't make any mistakes. And, you know, in college, you can win. Now, you have to get more out of the quarterback in college, I believe. But you can win when a quarterback doesn't make any mistakes. Look at Georgia and Jake Fromm. They were winning consistently. Why? Because it wasn't like he was putting up gaudy numbers, but they were playing really good defense, and he was winning ball games, making plays when he needed to. Well, Joe Burrow was that way last year. And once they started getting confidence as a team, and then they changed their offensive coordinator, I just thought this team, more than anybody, they had a coach that matched who they were.
Oh, yeah.
And yep.
That's,
you know,
the key right there.
This team would run through a wall for Coach O. And he proved that last year. Like, this team wasn't supposed to win 10 games last year. And they did. Everybody picked them to, you know, be the fourth team in West.
Yeah, Coach O was on the hot seat that season.
Yeah, Coach O, and it's like,
last year. Yeah. This year they were preseason like number 6 or 7.
Yeah,
so
last
it's not
year
like they were.
Yeah, last year before that, you know, historic run that they made. Right. Then yeah, that's basically yeah.
I think
supposed to get fired.
I think on this show, and I'm happy to say on this show, that when we talked about Coach O getting fired, I stood up and said, absolutely not. I think it's Joe Oliva, the athletic director, that was going to get fired first. And sure enough, that happened. And Coach O won 10 games. Now, I also said all summer that I thought there was a very Dabo-ish type of buy-in. And that's exactly what you're talking about, Derek, is that this culture of LSU. Now, the other thing, and this is the same thing with – this is what this LSU team mirrors the Titans to some degree, is that – you may have believed that Ryan Tannehill should have started from week 1, and that's fine. Show me your tweets. But you did not see an AFC championship game coming. You didn't predict it. You may have thought Joe Burrow was going to have a pretty good year this year, and that's fine. Derek, you were all over the LSU Tigers in the summertime before a single game had happened. But no one saw the greatest season in the history of college football coming from Joe Burrow. Not even the biggest LSU fan, because guess what? They didn't want Coach O. They didn't want him. Not even LSU fans. They didn't want Coach O. And so to see what Joe Burrow has accomplished, it's very similar to what Ryan Tannehill has accomplished in terms of like expectations and unexpected delivery on upside. Dude had like 16 touchdowns last year. They were a good team. He wasn't the greatest quarterback in the history of college football. If he wins tonight, it will be the greatest season in the history of college football by a quarterback.
You got to think, even
Ryan Tannehill's not much further away as far as Titans quarterbacking goes.
Even when you talk about other quarterbacks, like you expected Tua to have a great year, because that, you know, Tua, Trevor Lawrence, even a guy like Adrian Martinez, who I know Nebraska had a bad season, but going into the season, a lot of people expected some big numbers out of him under that Scott Frost team, and he didn't do it. And Joe Burrow was kind of the guy at the bottom looking up at the rest of the quarterbacks of, I have to climb my way up to be in that conversation, and he did that pretty well. And he did that first game of the season, I think. The Texas game is what really set people up with Joe Burrow is really good. Like, this guy is good. This guy's legit. And after that Texas game, it's been – everybody's been on all eyes on Joe Burrow since.
Yeah, and I hope you're right, Derek. I just hope we get a good game. Like, I picked Clemson and Georgia to play in the national title game in August. I was obviously wrong about Georgia. I got no problem with that. I think Clemson is still a team that I believe in. I think they can play well tonight. They are as talented and as good and as experienced as LSU is. I just don't know if they can get stops. I just hope it's a great game. I don't care who wins. I've officially switched. I picked Clemson when the playoff came out like a month ago, it feels like, 2 months ago, whenever that was. I've officially switched. I like LSU tonight. I just don't think Clemson can get enough stops. Even if they get a couple, I don't think it's enough. 41-35-ish is what I'm thinking. Maybe it plays tighter. It plays, you know, in these games, sometimes the defenses play a little bit more and the offenses, coaching stats get a little more conservative. I don't know. I just think both secondaries are in for a rude, rude challenge tonight in man coverage against, you got what, Jefferson, Chase, Marshall on one side, and you got Higgins, you know, Ross and Rogers on the other side. Just six NFL receivers that are just monsters trying to get the football.
Yeah, but I think what tilts the scale for LSU is that it got a tight end. Thaddeus Moss
is the difference.
He's
not
a fast guy, but he's a sure-handed guy. Joe Burrow doesn't mind throwing it to him. Both teams have really good running backs that not only can run the ball between the tackles, but can catch the ball out of the backfield. I think LSU has a deeper, running back core because the kid that comes in
Edward Solaire.
Yes, Edward Solaire. When he was injured and couldn't really play as much against Oklahoma, the other kid came in and did a really good job. He runs physical, and he's fast. So, it's going to come down to whether Dabo Swinney can do enough on defense to slow down Brady and, you know, the combination of Brady and Burrow. Meaning Joe Brady calling the plays at certain times, and Joe Burrow orchestrating those plays. I can't wait to watch both quarterbacks. I know it's not one against the other, but it's just watching both quarterbacks on this stage.
But don't you want to see that though in the fourth quarter? And forth, up and down the field. Like, I know defense wins championships, mm-hmm. but tonight, what sells, what makes tonight great, is if Joe Burrow has got a 3-point lead starting the fourth quarter and Trevor Lawrence scores, and then Joe Burrow goes down the field and scores, and then Trevor Lawrence goes down the field and scores. That's what's going to make tonight special. And it would make for a remarkable weekend in Nashville in January. You know, Pekka Rinne does something that hasn't happened in the NHL in like 6 years. They win a couple of games. The Titans do something spectacular on Saturday night that is basically unprecedented in the city's history. You know, as a Packers fan, I'm obviously very happy with the job that the Packers performed yesterday. And so if this can be a good game tonight for fans, I think it's going to be one of the more memorable sports weekends we've had in this city in a long time.
Yes, it's turning out to be a really good sport weekend in general, because you saw a bunch of good games this weekend, a bunch of upsets. But in particular for this region, Prez getting a new coach. Pekka scoring his first goal, them going on a 2-game win streak and sort of hopefully turning things around. And then the Titans being able to play the way they played the last 2 weeks. And then, you know, hopefully it turns out to be a really good, national championship game.
I just love this NFL weekend. I think divisional round, you could argue, is the best weekend of NFL football all year, because you get 2 games on Saturday, 2 games on Sunday. And I think so far they've lived up to the hype. I mean, even if the Titans game wasn't that close, nationally, everyone was watching because it was a huge upset. And same thing, the way the Kansas City game went down yesterday with Houston taking a 21-0 lead and then giving up a 51-7 run, that's just insanity. And so it's been a fantastic weekend of NFL football. You kind of sprinkle in some, the steak, the big 16-ounce filet on the dinner plate this weekend was the Titans, was the NFL slate of playoff games. You sprinkle in some like really good side items like a Pekka goal and a couple of Preds wins, and then you get like a really killer dessert and a great cocktail with the national championship game. A little scotch, as Aaron Rodgers said last night, a little scotch at the end of the night. That's what could be the national championship game tonight. So it's just been a fantastic weekend of sports in Nashville. We'll continue as the Titans win 28-12. Derrick Henry's going to get all the love, and he deserves it. But there's another man that deserves a lot of credit for the Titans' performance on Saturday night. We'll get to that when we come back right here on Morning Drive. Preds fans, don't miss this Wednesday night Smashville Live. We'll be in Bellevue at Brewhouse 100, located at 8098 Highway 100, and the show starts at 7 p.m. This week's guest will be country music legend Vince Gill. A limited number of autographs or pictures will be available, so be sure to get there early. This Wednesday night Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Yeehaw Brewing Company, and Red Spirits and Wine. Preds win 1-0 over Winnipeg on Sunday. Two-game winning streak on the road in the division, so maybe things looking up for the Preds. Obviously, things looking up for the Tennessee Titans in the AFC Championship game. Still can't believe I'm saying that. 28-12 win over the Baltimore Ravens on Saturday evening. And listen, you got to get some bounces. Things have to go your way. It certainly started that way with the deflection and the Kevin Byard interception, and then they pick up a penalty. There's a little sideline scuffle there, and Lamar Jackson looks a little bit out of sorts, and he never really fully regained composure, thanks in part, in my opinion, to the MVP so far of this team. And I know it's easy to look at Derrick Henry and say it's Derrick Henry. I totally get that. I think it's totally fair. He has been a superstar. And I'm glad that America is starting to appreciate Derrick Henry more, because he was a college superstar and hadn't really come out of his shell until maybe halfway through last year, when he himself admitted he wasn't playing his best football. He needed to change. I think he called himself trash or garbage or something like that, and he's reinvented himself back into what we saw at Alabama, and he's been a dominant force, the greatest three-game stretch in NFL history by a running back in the postseason, not even close. 6.1 yards per carry, 96 carries in 3 winner-go-home games, almost 600 yards rushing, and 5 total touchdowns, including a jump touchdown pass. So Derrick Henry's a star. The guy for me, though, that's been the MVP of this team through 2 weeks is the guy that has allowed and forced and schemed Tom Brady and Lamar Jackson into 25 total points, and that is Dean Pease and that defense. And the way he designed his game plan against Tom Brady and the way he designed his game plan against a polar opposite quarterback in Lamar Jackson and that offense. He has owned Greg Roman almost every step of the way, offensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. And Derek, his game plan, this sort of clog the middle, take away the dives, going to play tackle football, keep everything in front of us, then spread it out, push it to the edge. It took Lamar Jackson out of his comfort zone. And I thought Dean Pease is, through 2 weeks, to stop Tom Brady and Lamar Jackson, I think Dean Pease is your MVP right now.
Yeah, I think the easiest of the two was the Brady thing, because
certainly, yeah,
you know, Brady trying to throw the football, you're kind of sort of feeding into what Tennessee wants you to do. Brady can't move around in the pocket, so that makes it even more of an advantage. Titans, I think this past weekend was more of a tall task for them. Because if you allow Baltimore's running game to get going, then that opens up the pass for them. Now they still there still was a few breakdowns, but for the most part, you know, this team, and I'm pretty sure Dean is telling them that, listen, we need to clean a lot of things up, but we play well, but we still need to clean a lot of things up, because now you have a team in Kansas City that can be a little bit more balanced. And they don't mind throwing the football if you force them to throw the football. That's what Andy Reid wants to do. So if you force him to throw the football, he doesn't care. But this is another opportunity for Dean Pease to put together a game plan to try to slow down Kansas City. They can't stop them, but try to slow down Kansas City. And if you get a few turnovers, it's not about the turnovers, is when you get the turnovers.
Yep.
If you're going to get them, you want to get them late when they're making their runs or they're on a critical drive late in the game, you get a turnover and kind of change momentum. You know, Houston found that out very quickly, that being up 24-0 against Kansas City is in the first quarter.
Not enough.
It's not enough points.
That's nuts.
You know, but Tennessee, Dean Pease, and I've always, you know, said this is probably, he's one of the greatest, at least in this game today, he's one of the greatest minds in regards to defenses.
Yeah.
He's up there with Belichick and, yep, and some of these other, you know, Romeo Crennel, some of these other coordinators. And if you give him time to prepare for you, more times than not, he's going to make you pay.
Well,
and he did it the last two weekends.
And they didn't stop. Well, I take that back. They didn't, you know, Patrick Mahomes got a boatload of yards against the Titans here in Nissan Stadium a couple of months ago, but they held him to field goals the entire time. That was why they won that game. Obviously, Tannehill made some big plays in that game, and they ran the football well. I just think when you look at the way this team was playing at the end of the year, if you told me that Derrick Henry was going to run the ball well in the postseason, I'd have said, okay, that makes sense. right? I'd say, okay. If you were to tell me Ryan Tannehill is going to make a few really critical throws in key spots and make some plays to get his team some points in the red zone, I'd have said, yeah, okay, that makes sense. That's what he's been doing all year. To me, the thing that has changed from week 17 to the two playoff games has been the defense. Now, I realize Adoree Jackson is back, but it's not all Adoree Jackson. Like, this is so remarkable because they could not get stops when they had to get them against the Saints, couldn't get stops. The Titans couldn't get stops against the Texans in the second half when they needed to in the first meeting when the Texans were trying. Couldn't get stops. That was the issue with this team down the stretch. The offense was clicking. Great. Awesome. The defense was the problem. And for them to do what they've done in two games, again, I know Tom Brady in the offense isn't Tom Brady of old, but this was the best rushing attack in NFL history with the most dynamic player we've seen in quite some time. 14-2. They've won, what, 10 or 12 straight games, something like that. I know they got the yards at the end of the day, but that's because they were down 28-6 for most of the fourth quarter, and it was quote-unquote garbage time. But again, if you'd have told me that you were going to hold Tom Brady and Lamar Jackson to 25 total points, I think that's the thing everybody would have shooken their head at and said, no. There's no way that's possible. Not the way this defense is playing.
Nah, it's you look at it and you say, well, New England, yeah, but Baltimore, definitely not. Not the 12 points. Now, they're going to have to score a lot of points because they're going to give up a lot of points to Baltimore. But to hold them to 12 points, nah, that's not going to happen. Well, it happened. And again, it's about, you know, getting turnovers or getting stops, which can be considered as turnovers on fourth down at the right time. They got, you know, the interception is when Baltimore was driving. It killed their momentum. They throw a touchdown after that. They stop them on a fourth down when they were going in to score, and they were at Tennessee's 18-yard line. They stop them, and then they switch field positions, and then they get another turnover, and ultimately they score. So it's not necessarily how many turnovers you get. It's when I get these turnovers. Because even in the Kansas City, first game in Kansas City, they got one turnover. But when you know when it was? At the end of the game when they needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a turnover, and it became a touchdown, a blocked field goal that equaled a touchdown. They got that score when they needed to get it. They got that turnover when they needed to get it. And they're going to have to do it again. If you play this game straight up, I don't think you beat Kansas City if it's a straight up game, no turnovers. I think you got to get turnovers.
Yep.
And they had to do it against New England. They had to do it against Baltimore. And they know they got to do it against Kansas City because, again, they're not going to stop the teams moving the ball. They didn't stop Baltimore. They got turnovers. They're not going to stop Kansas City. They need to get turnovers. That's the thing. They need to get and they know it. And kudos to them for getting those turnovers, man. You just find ways to win. And the Titans have found ways to win. And that's in the playoffs, it's like, I don't care if I got to throw two passes or 22 passes. If we win, then so be it. If I throw over 100 yards or 5 yards, if we get the victory, then so be it. And that's what the Titans are doing. 77 yards the first game throwing, 88 yards the second game throwing. But you know what he's done? He's thrown, what, 3 touchdowns or 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. But he's made plays when he needed to in a quarterback. So if they continue to do that and get a turnover or two at the right time, then, you know, you can say, you know, Tennessee will be in the Super Bowl. Because I just don't think when they're playing this way, it's hard to beat them. It really is.
There is a buy-in and a culture, whatever you want to call it. You want to talk about it with Coach O and LSU? Go for it. You want to talk about it with Vrabel? Good to great. You use all the cliches. Ignite the fire. Take everything. Whatever hashtag you need. They've bought into it. Whatever it is, Arthur Smith has bought into it. Has done a brilliant job. Dean Pease has bought into it. The defensive line was spectacular. This was as complete a team effort as I have seen from a Tennessee Titans team in as big a spot as I've ever seen them. Basically, since y'all went to the Super Bowl, Derek. I mean, that's it. The way this team has played, it's again, I think people in this city will remember, whether you're a Titans fan or not, you will remember where you were on Saturday night, the night you watched the Titans go into Baltimore and steal Lamar Jackson's soul. Like that you will remember that night forever, no matter what happens against Kansas City. And everybody's going to pick Kansas City. They're a 7.5-point underdog, just like they were. They were a heavy underdog against Baltimore, just like they were a 5.5-6-point underdog to New England. It's the same story played out over and over again. And if they can go in and do it again a third time, the Tennessee Titans will play in the Super Bowl. Oh, by the way, in Miami, where Ryan Tannehill used to be the quarterback. How big of an impact does he have on the Chiefs game if they're going to win? We'll discuss when we come back right here on Morning Drive. All right, I totally lied to you guys. Completely my fault. I apologize, Morning Drive. I wanted to talk about Ryan Tannehill. I just can't get the Titans game out of my head. Chris Lowe joining us here from ESPN to talk about the national championship game. There is that thing that's happening tonight between Clemson and LSU. CeeLo, always a pleasure to have you, my friend. I cannot remember a better quarterback matchup. Maybe Matt Leinart and Vince Young. Certainly we had Kyler Murray and Tua, but the teams weren't as even last year. Can you remember a better quarterback matchup in a national championship setting where you felt like both teams were even than what we've got tonight in Clemson and LSU?
No, not right off the top of my head. You had you had Bradford and Tebow. Was that back in 2008? You know, but Bradford had set on fire that year. It was Tebow. But no, I mean, these two guys have just put up, video game-like numbers. And the thing is, too, when you think about Lawrence, remember that point in the season? I saw Clemson live three times this year. When there was that question sort of hovering, well, what's wrong with Trevor Lawrence? Trevor Lawrence isn't playing like Trevor Lawrence. And, of course, there are a couple different ways to enter Dabo's skin, but he would just go off the rails. Well, you don't hear people saying that now. He's played the last six, seven games, eight games as well as anybody. And it can make every throw. And the one thing they're doing, and Dabo told me when I visited with him in August, they were going to do more of this, and Trevor did too, is they're running him. You know, they really didn't have to run him during the ACC. They didn't need to. But you go back to the Ohio State game, and I think without question this game, you're going to see them do some different things with him running the football to put more pressure on LSU's defense because, as we've seen, we saw against Ohio State, he can really fly, and you got to account for that. And you got those big NFL receivers he's throwing to on top of it and a great back. I mean, Clemson – I know everybody thinks because LSU's been so explosive, this may be one of those Oklahoma-esque-type blowouts, but Clemson has been there and done it so many times. And with the quarterback matchup you just talked about, I mean, I know with Burrow's numbers and the 50 or 900 million touchdowns he's thrown, we all get blinded by that. But Lawrence's ability to run the football, do some different things with him offensively, may help level the field in this game.
Now, do you think the because we're talking about the matchups, whether it's Trevor Lawrence versus that resurging LSU defense, because they've gotten better as the season has wind down, and or Joe Burrow against, you know, Clemson's defense, they're not as good as they were last year, but they're still good. Do you think the matchup truly is Dabo and Ed Orgeron, because Dabo's been here before? He understands it, and you know, Ed Orgeron has been in some big games, but nothing bigger than this.
Well, I think there's something to that. I mean, I think how the teams, especially the offenses, I mean, it's just not normal to go this period of time and only play one football game. I mean, you know, you played at the highest level. I mean, think about it. They played the conference championship games, what, the first and the third or whatever. You know, and then you play the semifinal games, playoff semifinal games on the 28th, and then here we are on the 13th. Who can sort of get it back the quickest? Yeah. Because these teams are both good enough, and I think this goes back to your question of coaching and who handles it the best. You know, who makes the, you know, if one team starts off slowly or the offense is not clicking, what do you do to get going? Because these teams both are so good that, like last year, you saw Clemson sort of run away from Alabama. Alabama struggled early. And the game got away from Alabama. I think that could happen to either team this year if they struggle to sort of find their rhythm offensively early. But no, I think that's part of it. You know, I think the other matchup is what happens with LSU. Chazon is the one guy, the pass rusher in this game for LSU, and he's healthy. He wasn't healthy for much of this year. He's healthy now. What can he do? What does Clemson do with him? Because if he starts wreaking havoc and really can get to Lawrence and get them off kilter, then I think it can really be a long day for Clemson.
Chris Lowe joining us here, and these teams are so identical. It's really hard to pick a clear area where one team is significantly better than the other. Clemson and LSU playing tonight. Of course, you can hear every minute of the national championship game on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And the only thing I can think of, Chris, is I guess the LSU defensive backs are a little bit more talented and might be better in man coverage. But other than that, I we go back to the Lawrence versus Burrow debate. I can't remember a game where it felt like these two teams are looking each other in the mirror and they're seeing themselves.
Yeah, well, you better not waste possessions. If either team wastes possessions, I you turn the football over, you know, put yourself, you know, in bad situations, down in distance with penalties, you know, take sacks, that kind of thing, because both of these teams can score, and we know LSU can. You go back to the Ohio State. I was in Phoenix for the Ohio State Clemson game, and that was a game played in the 20s. I have a hard time seeing this game being played in the 20s. I just if you're going to beat LSU, you're going to have to be able to score 38, 40, 40 plus points. You know, and certainly Clemson's capable of that. You're right. LSU's corners are really good. I think Clemson on the back end probably is as good as they've been, though. And the key there is Simmons, the linebacker, because they can do all sorts of things with him. Cover, he can rush. He's a guy that you'll line up different places. Neither team can waste possessions. And I said a minute ago, you can't get behind. And you know what? Maybe just run the football a little bit and keeping the other team off. That's where Clemson with Etienne, and he is so good. And you go back to the Ohio State game, he's the one that made the difference in that game offensively. He and Lawrence's ability to run the football. In the pass game, they were able to get the ball to him in the pass game. He made several big plays. But to be able to run the ball a little bit, possess the football, and keep that LSU offense off the field, because, again, the thing that would surprise me the most about this game tonight, if it ends up being a 23-21 game, a 24-21 type of game, I think both offenses are just too good with too many guys who are going to be playing at the next level. Both receiving corps. How many receivers in this game? You know, and I'll defer to the receiving expert on this show. How many receivers that are going to play tonight will end up playing for a long time or for several years in the NFL? What's the number?
Well, you got at least six, at least. I mean, Clemson has three, and that's just receivers. Clemson has three, and LSU has three. And then if you throw in Thaddeus Moss, that's another.
Seven guys to play at the next level.
Yep.
No, you're absolutely right. Seven guys that you know, you're watching, and I don't think we've seen this in a national championship game where seven skilled guys – will be NFL players. Now, how long they last is a different story, but they will be NFL players. Getting back to the run game, because Clemson didn't have to, you know, they chose to run Trevor Lawrence rather than running Travis Etienne, and I think Ohio State was ready for Etienne to run the ball, and it kind of tricked them. But they, on the opposite, they couldn't stop the run with J.K. Dobbins. Do you think they're able to stop what LSU does from a run standpoint? Because if they can't, that puts a lot of pressure on that back end to cover.
Well, you know, I don't think they're going to completely stop them, because really nobody's going to completely stop LSU, period, offensively. I tell you what they got to do. If Clemson's going to win this game, and everybody asks, what's the one thing that's got to happen? They have got to make LSU kick field goals in the red zone, which is what they did. That's the reason they beat Ohio State. You go back, Ohio State had two or three first and goals inside the 10 or 12 or something like that, and kicked field goals. They couldn't score touchdowns. And Brad Venables, Clemson's defensive coordinator, they've been masterful all year at making teams kick field goals in the red zone. Now, they hadn't been playing LSU all year either. It's a different animal. But I think when the LSU gets down there, they're going to score some. But they have got to make them kick some field goals down there. And then that's the key. Now, I don't know if you're going to stop them. Because you talk about both these backs on both these teams are capable of beating a couple of different ways. Running the football, they're both tough, can run between the tackles. They both catch the football out of the backfield. So you've got some versatility. But if I think we look back at this game this time tomorrow and Clemson has won, I'll bet you there's going to be multiple possessions. The LSU had the ball in the red zone where they had to kick field goals as opposed to scoring touchdowns. I think that, to me, is absolutely one thing that's got to happen for Clemson to win.
Yep, that's what happened with, of course, Ohio State, and that's what happened, frankly, with the Ravens and the Titans. If you get stops inside your own 40-yard line, you can win the game. Chris Lowe, thank you so much, man. We do appreciate it. I know New Orleans is going to be absolutely crazy. People are already drunk, I think, in New Orleans right now. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, it's great being with you guys. Appreciate you having me.
Thanks, Chris. I will say this. Let's just drive the knife a little bit deeper for folks. Just a little bit. You know, listen, it's a good day. People are happy and excited. Titans got a big win. They're in the AFC Championship game, which is essentially insane. If you're watching the game tonight and you're a Tennessee Volunteer fan, just let yourself wonder what if. Travis Etienne from Louisiana grew up a Tennessee Volunteers fan. T. Higgins and Amari Rodgers from the state of Tennessee grew up Tennessee fans. Trevor Lawrence grew up a Tennessee fan. All four of those dudes not really recruited by Butch Jones.
What a great job, Butch Jones.
Just drive the knife a little deeper. Just a little deeper.
Brick by brick. A great job.
They didn't think they had to recruit T. Martin's son, so they didn't. They didn't really come hard after Travis Etienne because they didn't know about it. Like, it's ridiculous. Those four guys all grew up Tennessee fans, and half the guys on the team didn't even know about Travis Etienne until this week when he said, oh, yeah, I grew up a Tennessee fan in Louisiana. Nice job, Butch. Good job, buddy. Old Lyle, the gift that keeps on giving. Stick to sports, and we come back. And we'll talk Ryan Tannehill in hour number four. Don't go anywhere. I mean, if Nashville wasn't feeling any better, I don't think you can feel any better after Saturday night. But that song right there, that'll do it for you. My favorite Michael Jackson song of all time. All right, Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Morning Drive. We'll get back to Ryan Tannehill as well in the final hour. As I told you guys again, can the Titans continue to win with Ryan Tannehill throwing for less than 100 yards but making big critical plays? We will discuss that in the final hours. The Titans beat the Ravens 28-12 on Saturday evening and move on to the AFC Championship game, which is just still an unbelievable thing to think about. I'm in another dimension, I feel like, this morning on the show. In that case, save me, Marquise. Save me.
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
And stick to sports. Now, on Morning Drive. Number one.
All right, fellas. Last night we had some great games in the NFL.
I was nervous.
Yeah, I know you were. He was down. He was short.
I had to change my... Well, sure, but...
Jimmy Graham was short.
Who cares?
Just ladies and gentlemen.
The refs also got a turnover wrong in the first quarter, whatever.
Right.
All I know is that I had to change my pants three times in the second half.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was that nervous.
So, after the game... Now, we don't know whether or not this is going to be the last game of Marshawn Lynch, one of my favorite people in football because of just his interview skills are amazing. And he gives you life lessons as well because he gave some life lessons about retirement yesterday. And here's his advice to people thinking about retiring. Here's Marshawn Lynch.
Now, I done been on the other side of a retirement, and it's good when you get over there and you can do what the fuck you want to. So I tell y'all right now while y'all in it, take care of y'all bread. So when y'all done, you go ahead and take care of yourself. So while y'all at it right now, take care of y'all bodies. You know what I mean? Don't take care of y'all chicken. You feel me? Don't take care of y'all mentals. Because, look, we ain't lasting that long. You know, I had a couple of players that I played with that, you know what I mean? They no longer here no more. They no longer. So, I mean, you feel me? Start taking care of y'all mentals, y'all bodies, and y'all chicken for when y'all, you know, ready to walk away, you walk away, and you be able to do what you want to do. But I appreciate it. Thank y'all. I have a good day.
Now, when he says take care of your chicken, he's not talking about the farm.
Yeah.
Like he's not talking about take care of your chicken and your cattle and all that. He's talking about your money.
Or your dating life.
Or your dating life.
It's definitely your money.
Wait, why would he go dating life? Come on, Brayden.
There's a lot of people that were Googling that when they heard that for the first time. They had no idea what he was talking about.
I wonder if there was somebody at the press conference like, psst, hey.
They were all Googling.
Hey, what?
All of them.
What's chicken mean?
Yeah, of course they were. They were all asking, what the heck does chicken mean?
Chicken of the sea?
Who? Again.
What chicken is he talking about?
Is it your farm? Is it your food? Is it your women? What is it? No, it's your money. Okay.
He said, take care of your chickens and take care of your mentals. Now, everybody knows what your mentals mean.
Yeah, take care of your head.
Yeah, take care of your head. And also take care of your chickens, which is another form of bread. Money.
Which all, yeah.
Moolah. Guap. All that good stuff. Money got
Cashish.
So many. Yeah. I haven't heard anybody say that one, though.
You just did.
Congratulations.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Appreciate that. But yeah, take care
of your question here or what?
Yeah, take care of your chickens, ladies and gentlemen.
It's actually pretty good advice.
It is. I mean,
it's great advice.
It's great advice, but people will listen to it, and it's like. And I was talking about this earlier because Adam Sandler didn't get nominated for an Oscar.
Oh my God.
For Uncut Gems.
I can't believe you got that sentence into a Marshawn Lynch.
But hear me out, though. Hear me out.
That's amazing.
Because he has a rep of being a goofball.
Yeah.
So you don't take him serious when he does something serious or when he says something serious. So Uncut Gems is a very serious movie, and it doesn't get any credit because you kind of have a mental note of who Adam Sandler is.
What was his other serious movie?
It was like Punch Drunk
Love
or something
depressing.
Like that. It was awful, though.
It was so depressing.
It was not a good movie, though.
So, but he tried something serious, and I don't think it worked that well, right?
Exactly, but this one's a little bit more serious. Yeah, and I've heard pretty good things about it. But that's my point of Marshawn Lynch is... Like, he's giving you advice, but you kind of ignore it because it's like, he's talking about chickens. What is he talking about? Saying Popeyes? Like, it's serious life lessons from Marshawn Lynch. But, you know, you'll get ignored in it when you listen to him talk. But he talks like every relative I have in California. So, he does. He talks like all my cousins sound like Marshawn Lynch.
I think two things struck me, and you guys know me. I go, like, way too deep into the weeds on this stuff so fast. One thing, my first thing that struck me was that's good advice. It's legit good advice to young players in the NFL. Take care of your body, take care of your head, take care of your money, be smart, and prepare yourself for life after football because it will end. And I'm sitting next to a man that did all of that. He took care of all that stuff because you did it the right way, Derek. And I think it's great advice. Number two, the second thing that struck me, and again, because I go so deep, is that we are all very different people and we come from different places and we speak different ways and that it's okay for Marshawn Lynch to talk differently than you. It's okay. We don't all have to talk the same way. It's fine.
Yeah, run through somebody's face.
People are going to make fun of Marshawn for a lot of things, and sure, fine, have fun. But it's okay to talk a little differently, to speak differently.
Absolutely.
Number two.
And speaking of chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of chicken. So I was on Twitter.
I mean, it's chicken.
It's chicken of the sea.
Chicken sandwich.
So I was on Twitter and I saw this. I didn't know, first of all, that Family Feud had like a Canadian version.
Oh God, this is bad.
I guess this is Canadian versions, and there's like different versions of yeah. So there's a so basically when the teams are tied and they go to kind of like the sudden death to where you got to answer just one question, just one. We asked this many people this question. What was the answer?
For like 10 grand, right?
For like 10 grand.
Ugh.
So you want to put somebody that has a little bit of brains up there so you can try to win. Unfortunately, one family didn't, and this is the response that happened.
All right. Real simple. There's one question. Only one answer. Whoever gets it, you're playing for $10,000. That's it. Whoever guesses this wins the game. Here we go. Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken. Oh, my God.
Show me chicken.
Spinach, Jerry.
Show me spinach.
Oh, my Lord.
And she did a little shimmy too. Like she said
it with so much confidence. She's like, chicken. And she looked back at her family. Oh. She did like the little shimmy at them, and then they looked at her like, what are you doing?
She did a little John Morant shimmy back.
Yeah,
there.
She did. She basically did the Nick Young where he shoots the basket and then he misses it,
oh
but he's
God.
Like showboating. That's basically what she did. So Popeye, ladies and gentlemen, He likes spinach.
Yes.
He, you know, he squeezes the can.
Yes.
It flies open in his mouth. He gets bigger. And I never heard Popeye's like, actually like, you know what? Eating like a chicken leg or something to get powerful. It was spinach.
I mean, clearly she was confused. She's with young, fast ain't food.
She?
Right.
Yeah, she was. She was pretty young.
She's
yeah,
pretty young.
No wonder
yeah.
she yeah. answered chicken instead of spinach.
Now here's the thing, though, with this new biscuit that's been like sweeping the country, I will say that the brand equity of Popeye's chicken is probably higher than Popeye the Sailor right now. Like yeah. To Derek's point, mm-hmm. like when you think Popeye's, I think the first thing you think of is chicken first right now, no longer yeah. the cartoon. Now, I grew up on the cartoon, so like you and I, Derek, had the mm-hmm. we knew about the cartoon. Still no excuse, though.
She should have just said, do you mean Popeye or Popeye's?
She should have let him finish the question. Yeah. It's like she didn't even,
yeah,
she just
he
heard
Popeye's
and then immediately.
Well, there wasn't an S.
Yeah.
Because that's an important distinction.
Yeah, you're right.
So my question, hey, would you guys take your family on Family Feud? And how successful
yeah.
you think your family
heck,
would
heck
be
yeah.
at Family
Absolutely.
Feud?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would. I think we would do a good job because Family Feud is not, they don't get, it's not like one of those deals like Jeopardy.
Yeah, where yeah. you just don't, you
yeah.
have to know the answer or you don't.
Exactly. I said Popeyes. Family Feud is like, you know, they're logical answers.
Yeah, they're
you know?
Common like, sense, pretty yeah. much.
And you get like six cracks at it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Five cracks at it. Yeah.
Well, you
it's
get
not,
three.
It's not like when the, yeah, that's right, you get three wrong ones or whatever, but it's not like, you're exactly right, Derek. It's like Jeopardy, it's like in 2004, so-and-so launched blah, 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 blah into outer blah, 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 and you're like, I don't have any clue what any of those things are. In Family Feud, it's like, all right, name the most popular responses to what you do on your rehearsal dinner or something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's very, very different.
I think
Popeye was a sailor who used spinach to save his significant other.
Who would be the strong?
Olive oil, right?
Who do you think would be the strongest in your family? Because my mom,
my brother,
like, she, like, every answer that's up there, like, my mom answers them, like, to a T. Oh, that's this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's this.
My
oh,
brother.
That's that.
Yeah.
So I think my mom would definitely be the MVP of Family Feud. She'd be on the second round, the round where they have the two people go up there and they got to guess. It's after the family wins. They yeah. have to get two family members up there to get 200 points. So my mom would be one of the two people because I'm just there. I'll just be there for comic relief or something.
Yeah, I mean, if you got a family member that watches the show all the time,
yes,
they would be better equipped to answer yes. the questions.
Yeah, I don't. I definitely don't watch.
I don't either. I don't watch game shows anymore at all, ever. I don't have time. I used to like The Price is Right. That's about it.
So you remember when I told you guys about like the trash TV and basically like The Bachelor and all that mm-hmm. other stuff? Do you know they're coming out with another Bachelor, but it's going to be for songwriters and singers?
There's 4,000 versions of the dating show.
But this one actually...
There's 4,000 versions.
I would love to see this one because I want to see like a failed rapper get on there. And then, like, you know.
Why is that more interesting than.
Because the
any
whole
other
purpose of the show is they're all musicians.
Okay.
Like, so they're all musicians trying to date. So I would want, like, a failed.
So they're all going to be, like, you know, hipsters?
No, but except for, like, one rapper, like, one SoundCloud rapper. That'd be awesome. And then you could just, like, rap to the girls. That would be pretty cool.
There's not a single angle you could give me that makes me want to watch a dating show. I get it. It's very popular.
If a failed rapper was on there.
People love The Bachelor. I get it. Now, if you told me it was like Chase McCabe, like if you told me it was all people I knew, then I would watch. If it was Chase McCabe, Stillman, Ricky, and you, Marquise, I'm in. I'm in all day. You watch that, Derek?
Yeah, those three.
See, you're in.
I would be right there in front of the television.
Uh-huh. 100%.
It would be a train wreck.
No, Stillman wouldn't win.
Stillman would win.
The problem is Chase would get kicked off, would be voted off too soon because he's too nice.
Yeah.
That would bother me.
And then me.
That would bother me.
And then followed by me.
Ricky would be kept around for comedic relief.
Yeah, pretty much. Because she'll find out that like I have like a, oh, I went on this work trip with a girl like a weekend before I went on the show. So,
well, that's fair. Before the show started.
They usually kick people off for stuff like that, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, you got an ex? That's way back at home.
Wait. The Bachelor doesn't want people that have had relationships
in
the past.
I'm just saying, but if you still have communication with your ex or something like that, they're just like, oh, get off the show. You can't be on there. You still have communication with your ex.
That's why I don't watch those stupid shows.
Exactly.
Unless you were on it, Marquise. Then I would watch it.
I'd be a king.
I'd be fascinated to watch you and Chase Stillman go at it. Watch him do battle in the Gulch. It's going to be great. Can't wait. All right, Darren McFarlane, when we come back, we'll talk a little Preds and Titans. Ryan Tannehill in hour number four. We'll talk about him and what he's accomplished so far and what he needs to do for the Titans to beat the Chiefs. I promised you that like 30 minutes ago. We will deliver that in the final hour. Don't go anywhere. Morning Drive.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.